I'm George Faust.
I'm Karaski Melvin. And this is Inside Cajun Nation.
KLFY and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette present Inside Cajun Nation.
Welcome to Inside Cajun Nation. We begin with the end of the regular season for Cajun softball. They faced Troy at Lampson. For the Lady Trojans, a tall task in part due to the fact that the Cajuns feature two of the best pitchers in the Sun Belt. Entering the week, Sam Landry and Chloe Riacetto, those two combined for 184 strikeouts, both with stellar ERAs. Landry, 208. Riacetto, 272. Head coach Jerry Glasgow.
We're in a great place. And, you know, there's no doubt about it. Anybody that's ever watched Sam Landry pitch on one of her good days sees one of the most talented arms in the country. And I think that's true of Chloe. You've seen one of the most talented left-handed pitchers in the country, no doubt about it. They're both good and really good. And because of that, when they have a great performance, we're Americans. Americans like the best. And, we just want somebody to be the best. But in this particular situation, as a coach, I'm just so blessed to have both those two extremely talented kids. They're extremely talented in the classroom. They're phenomenal student athletes.
Cajun softball has won 13 games in a row. There's Sam Landry with a strikeout. However, Troy able to figure her out. They push across two in the fourth inning. That's going to cause Coach Glasgow to change pitchers from Landry to Riacetto. However, Cajuns couldn't get things going. They fall 3-0 to Troy in game one. Game two, Cajuns were down 7-0 early and have to fight back. UL's Denali Lecker and the circle. She had to calm the waters after a 6-run first for Troy. 7-2 Troy after two. Cajuns getting it going. Cecilia Vasquez, a 2-run homer, 7-4. Then later, Maddie Hayden with a base hit. She would go up the middle. That would score Kaylor Folterman. Cajuns win 11-7. Senior day in game three for Taylor Roman and Denali Lecker. Cajuns down 1-0, bottom first. Couple of runners on. Laney Crater smacks a pitch into right center. Both runners would score. Cajuns on top 2-1. Same score in the bottom of the fourth. Kaylor Folterman pokes one to left. That allows Cecilia Vasquez to come around to score. Then in the same inning, Maya Davis at the dish. She would get one in the infield. Motors to first. She's safe. Folterman scores. Louisiana wraps up the regular season with another series win for 1-year final. Coach Glasgow, Crater, Folterman agree on what this series was for this team.
It was very interesting. Troy played a great series. In the first game, they got our attention and got us good there on the 3-0 game and then got out in front. So they scored 10 runs before we scored a run in the series. And that's a wake-up call for us and tells us what we need to work on this week.
The first game woke us up, and we knew we just had to come back and fight and do whatever it takes to, you know, win this series. And not only do it for us, but do it for the fans, you know, because they're our biggest supporters.
It was kind of a wake-up call, like Coach said the other night, but we knew that we could get it done. We weren't going to give up. We're always going to fight, and we're just a gritty team, and we're going to get it done.
To college baseball. Louisiana has three conference series left. The first of those, Troy, at Troy, Alabama. Now, Troy took two of three from the Cajuns in Lafayette a year ago. But Louisiana, a different team this season. However, Troy won five of their last six in the series. Head coach Matt Deggs expects a competitive series in Troy.
The challenge is always within us, and it's to win that freebie battle. And we can't go in like we did at Coastal and be generous. A lot of walks, errors, et cetera, et cetera. The ability to throw strike one, dominate routine plays, and get good pitches and find a barrel, that'll be paramount. That's key. And if we do that, we'll have a chance to be right there in all three of them.
We'll start with game one. First inning, no score. Kyle DeBarge pokes one to right. Sends one to right. Luke Uhas would score the game's first run. Then, in the same inning, Lee Amade at the dish. The first pitch he sees, he flies out. That allows DeBarge to tack from third and score 2-0 Louisiana. Bottom of the inning, bases full of Trojans. and bases full of Trojans no more. Kyle Mock, the four-run home run. Troy Run rules the Cajuns 16-5-7. They look to bounce back on Saturday. Scoreless top four, Caleb Stelly. That's one through the middle. Kyle DeBarge would come in to score. Then tied at five, at one, and in the fifth, tied at ones in the fifth. That's Jose Torres. He gets his second home run of the year. Louisiana back on top again. Troy loads the bases again. This time, bottom of the inning in a 2-2 game, Brooks Bryan goes to the wall. That lets two Trojans come around to score. 8-4, Troy wins. Louisiana up 5-4, top seven in game three. Kyle DeBarge dials long distance, his 17th of the year. Cajuns score five in the frame. Stop me if you've heard this before. Bottom of the ninth, bases are loaded for Troy. Will Butcher, a game-tying grand slam. Troy scores six in the ninth, and that brings the game to extra innings. We go to the top of the 10th, Connor Higgs. Well deep, well gone. Homer number 10 of the season. Cajuns take the lead again. Then later in the inning, John Taylor would add an RBI double. Cajuns avoid the sweep, winning 14-13 in 10. Coming up on Inside Cajun Nation, former Cajun Jacob Cabote signs with the Saints. Here's what he hopes to bring to the team.
This portion of Cajun Nation is brought to you by Lafayette Coca-Cola Bottling.
Welcome back. Former Cajun running back Jacob Cabote signed an undrafted free agent contract with the New Orleans Saints. Turns out, it's where he always wanted to be.
It feels great. It's a dream come true.
That's how former Cajun Jacob Cabote described having his post-draft career continue in New Orleans. The Saints signed the running back as an undrafted free agent.
You know, growing up, the Saints, you know, being from Baton Rouge, that's my, you know, favorite team. So that's definitely where I wanted to play.
Cabote says he models his game after a current Saint running back, Alvin Kamara.
Me being a Saints fan, you know, Alvin Kamara is definitely doing his thing. The versatility is definitely something that sticks out when watching him. I mean, he has, you know, he's Alvin Kamara for a reason. I mean, he's a household name for a reason. So I definitely study his game.
Cabote says he hopes to bring a lot to the black and gold.
Maturity in the running back room, for sure. I think I'm going to be a hard worker, somebody who definitely goes in and do the right things. Someone who loves the game. I'm a football junkie. Versatility, you know. Man, somebody who loves the team. Like, I'm always a fan. I grew up a fan before, you know, I even signed to the Saints. So the fact that I'm here, man, it's just, they're going to get 100% out of me.
Saints rookie minicamp starts May 10th, runs through the 12th. Stick around. Sports director George Faust chats with Dave Schultz from the Locked On Sun Belt podcast.
Hi, hello, and welcome in to Inside Cajun Nation, everyone. George Faust here. We are joined by Dave Schultz. He's got a couple of things kicking. Locked On Sun Belt, he does that. He also does the Schultecast podcast.
Right.
You can find it anywhere you get your podcast. And Dave, thanks so much for the time. I know you've got a lot of thoughts. I always like to hear your thoughts because you're very opinionated, and I enjoy that. And we discuss it. And we'll start with this. We'll start with the Raging Cajuns and Cajun softball.
Sure.
Earlier this week, Thursday night, the Cajuns lose to Troy in a very bizarre game because you usually think the Cajuns can get the bats rolling. That did not happen. End up losing the game 3-0, and a couple of streaks stop, a 9-game winning streak, a 9-straight win streak, and then 13-game home win streak as well. So what did you see out of that game? It was kind of a I don't know. It was just a bizarre game.
Well, the bats have been quiet since they put 9 runs on the board against LSU. So they scored 9 last week against LSU midweek, and then they scored 11 in a 3-game sweep of Monroe. And apparently Monroe was doing some things mixing and matching their pitchers, and that's what Troy did on Thursday night. They sent out a girl who's pitched 15 innings all season to go against the top 25 Raging Cajuns in Lampson Park. What does she do? 2 1/3 innings of shutout baseball. Right. The next Troy pitcher, 2 1/3 innings of shutout baseball. And the last pitcher, 2 1/3 innings of shutout baseball. The Cajuns bats hit a couple of balls hard, and the shortstop for Troy played very well, but there weren't a whole lot of runners left on base. They had a couple of opportunities. They had Langeliers on at second base with one out in the sixth, and don't bring her home. If you bring her home and it's 2-1 going into the seventh, now you got something to
dynamic
think about.
Dynamic changes,
instead,
yeah.
Troy gets out of it, and then Troy adds a home run. So instead of 2-1 going to the bottom of the seventh, it's 3-0, and now the Cajuns are in trouble. Right. And now you wonder if they're going to host and what that one game has a ramification of.
Yeah, absolutely, because, look, they put themselves in a great position by winning against LSU.
Sure.
But then you kind of stub your toe against Troy here. Now they have to go get this series. This is something that I don't know a lot of people aren't talking about, I don't think, at this point. But they have a streak in the Sun Belt of winning conference series.
A little bit, yes.
It's in jeopardy now. This is something
big time in jeopardy,
right?
Yes.
So I mean, they have to think about the whole aspect of it. And I think, were you a little shocked at the way that was the outcome of that? Just kind of the way it was stagnant on Thursday.
Well, the bats just haven't been there for a week now.
Okay. Yeah.
So it hasn't been, even against McNeese after the LSU game. They did what they had to do to come back and win that one and then hang on against McNeese late. So, you know, we'll see. You know, I know this is airing, you know, after the fact. So we'll see if the Cajuns make it 89 straight Sun Belt Series wins, which is, you're saying people aren't talking enough about it. They really aren't talking enough about it. This thing goes back to 2013.
Right.
So that's outrageously incredible. I know the Cajuns stopped Oklahoma's, 71-game winning streak?
Yeah.
And that's over a couple of seasons, and that's as impressive as that is. And maybe that's because they're the Sooners and everyone's talking about that. But the Cajuns haven't lost a Sun Belt weekend series since, you know, 2013. And so that's not a bad bounce, a bad call, you know, just a bad day. For that, and Jerry Glasgow brought that up Thursday after the game. You know, he's not happy with the way they played, but to coach him up, we've lost the first game of a series 10 times since he's been here. We've never lost a second game, and we haven't lost the third game. So we need to play better, but let's shake it off and come back out and see what they do Friday and Saturday.
What does it do to their regional hosting kind of opportunity? Because I mean, it looks like they might still be in a good spot. But
they're still there. Yes, yeah. they're still there. As of Friday morning, they were 16th in the nation via Warren Nolan, take whatever that means.
Right.
They are the only, I'm pretty sure they're the only G5 school in like the top 35, like maybe Charlotte, maybe 36th. Yeah. But everybody else is ACC, SEC, and Big 12. And the Cajuns are right below Alabama, and they have issues as well. Yeah. So they're still very much in there. I would still think if they win this series and go win the Sun Belt Conference Tournament, they still got a very good shot to host.
Yeah, and look, they're still the most talented team, obviously, in the Sun Belt, but their talent is so, like, you see it. It just didn't come to fruition on that day, and it looks like they got to figure something out over these next.
Well, you can also tip the cap to Troy.
Yeah,
they pitched well, right?
Yeah, they figured something out and they executed.
This wasn't like Troy got in and out of trouble all night long. The Cajuns
right.
really did not hit, and
correct.
That's I would put that more on Troy than on the Cajuns.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk some baseball. We'll talk a little now. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk some more. But overview. I mean, they seem like you have a guy like Debo, and he's playing at a high level. He's the catalyst for this team, right?
Yeah, you're right. And so you're wondering what Southern Miss is doing, not pitching to him once, but pitching to him twice. I was coming back from Louisiana High School Softball Championships on Friday night and hearing Jay Walker talk, I am not pitching to Kyle DeBarge because really he's kind of the only guy in the lineup that's hitting.
That's it, right.
So not only do they pitch to him on Friday and hits a 3-run home run, they come back to him and pitch to him on Saturday, and he gets a 2-run base hit to tie the ball game up. He's the one guy I'm not pitching to.
Yeah.
If we
just
walk out the barge and Lee Amedee hits a grand slam, tip your cap. I'm not pitching to that guy.
Yeah.
As far as the overall situation with the Cajuns, you know, it's a big difference between the softball team, who has the number one rated out of conference strength of schedule, to the Cajuns baseball team, which does not. So the Cajun softball team kind of scheduled to host and maybe be a national seed if they won a couple of those tougher ball games that they had, whereas Cajun's baseball scheduled to get in by winning 40 to 45 games. And even Matt Deggs is talking, if we get to 40, we'll be okay, and that's probably the case. But they have a huge series against Troy. They're at Georgia Southern, and then they wrap up with South Alabama. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, South Alabama's turned their season around. So that series at the end of the year is going to be big. But if you go win, you got to win at least one. But if you can take two out of three from Troy, I think the Cajuns are 51 heading into the series.
Yeah,
and so they'll be a top 40 club if they take two out of three on the road from Troy. They may actually go up, which they did. They lost two out of three to Coastal Carolina, and they worked their way all the way up to, I think, like 42 or 43. So if they can win at least one, and if two, they'll be in good shape moving forward.
Yeah, we'll talk some more baseball after the break here, but we're going to talk some spring football, and who knows what else we'll talk about. You never know. We might talk about some food, ballpark food. No, I don't know. You got to come back and find out what we're going to talk about. More Inside Cajun Nation when we return. Don't go away. Welcome back to Inside Cajun Nation. George Faust here. Dave Schultz joining us here on Inside Cajun Nation. You can find him on Locked On Sunbelt. He also has Schulte Cast. It's on wherever you get your
podcast. Well, we do live on YouTube, 6:55, right. Monday through Friday.
There you go.
So, live. And it's on the X and the Twitter and Facebook. So we do it live.
Yeah. And so that's
Monday
good,
through Friday.
That's good stuff. You talk, all things sports?
Well, we try to do Cajuns. There's no local morning Cajun show,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
no local show on the radio here.
Right.
It's all national, so we try to fill that void.
Yeah, good stuff. And you can find it where on YouTube there with Dave Schultz. And where are they? It's at Schulte Cast.
At Schulte Cast.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool deal. Let's switch gears real quick for a little bit anyway, and talk a little football.
Sure.
Spring football. Hey, it's kind of spring games always kind of baffle me because I don't know what like fans get out of it. I know they have these.
Well, the Cajuns fans didn't get anything right, out of it because it was indoors.
That's what I'm getting at. For some reason, fans do like to go to these things and just, I guess,
some more than others.
Right, watch right? football.
I mean,
right,
right. Yeah. I mean, they pack Ryan Denny in Alabama, right? And they always have. And LSU doesn't.
Yeah. No,
for whatever reason.
It's a glorified practice, and you get to come watch.
Right.
But the Cajuns weren't able to do that. They moved it indoors for, I guess, was it weather?
Construction.
Time? Oh, construction. That's right. Construction. What kind of year does this have to be for Coach Desimo?
Well, it's kind of a make or break.
Yeah.
All right. He's kind of saying this. All right. So he was behind the eight ball when Billy left. And that was the first year of the portal, and a bunch of players left. Players and coaches left, all right? And then, you know, a big difference between what Hudspeth had and then Napier and what Dez has is the health of his quarterback, right? Yeah. So when Hudspeth, in the middle of that little run, right, four bowl games in 4 years, I think he didn't have one lineman hurt, offensive lineman, in like 2 or 3 years, okay? For Billy Napier, Levi Lewis started three straight years, every single game, all right? The last two seasons, Mike Desimo, last year, three different quarterbacks started, and the year before, two started, and Zeon played. So you got to – hopefully you stay healthy, right? Ben Woldridge is out. We don't know if he's going to be ready for fall ball. Hopefully he is. But Chandler Fields is the guy. I would presume he's going to be the guy to start. Samari Collier, the transfer, Illinois, and then junior college. He really kind of stole the show in the spring game, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And so we'll see where the Cajuns are. But it's kind of – there's Texas State at the top because they got Jordan McLeod, the player of the year from the Sun Belt, transferred from JMU to the Bobcats. But then South Alabama's got a new coach and new quarterback. Troy's got a new quarterback. Gunnar Watson ran out of his 10-year of eligibility, and they got a new coach. ULM's going to have 60 new players, right? Mm-hmm. They're talking about Colorado. Brian Vincent at ULM is talking about turning over three quarters of the roster. Mm-hmm. And so did the Cajuns lose a little bit? And they may lose some more. Well, the portal actually closed. So I'm not sure. The Cajuns, out of anybody outside of Zeon Chris and Gant, I guess, the linebacker, really didn't lose that much in the portal. Mm-hmm. And so if they can be a healthy offensive line and keep their quarterback healthy, they're going to compete in the West, and Mike Desmo knows that has to be the case.
Yeah, I agree that this is kind of the year that, that Coach Des has to kind of, you know, it's do or die, sort of speak.
It kind of is.
Because you get to this point, and, okay, it's no longer Billy's guys. It's kind of your guys. I know he got hit hard when a lot of those guys went with Billy,
sure.
Things like that. But, I'm hoping for his sake that he can continue and have a good season.
Well, he's not the only one who knows that. Like Will Hall, same thing at Southern Miss. Problem with Will Hall is they've had turnover with the quarterbacks as well.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the talent that he did inherit and developed over the last couple of years moved on and graduated.
Yeah.
All right, they didn't get hit hard by the portal either, but they're bringing in Tate Rodemaker from Florida State. Is he going to be the quarterback? And so he understands the same thing. He comes on and says, this is year four. We got to win now, or else there's probably going to be somebody here next year.
Right. Yeah, and it's when you set up a schedule, I think you have to be cognizant of that. And I think that maybe the Cajuns can set themselves up with the schedule they're trying to lay out. So hopefully that'll be, you don't go play too many huge.
Well, you want to hear about a schedule. So I had Butch Jones from Arkansas State locked on Sunbelt, right?
Sure,
the first time we've had him on.
Uh-huh.
He has a ridiculous schedule. All right. Now he broke in his freshman quarterback last year, Jalen Rayner. And so they will probably be, them and the Cajuns will probably be right behind Texas State preseason picks. Okay.
Right, okay.
So he's got two first games at home, which is fine. Four of the next six are on the road, including three Sunbelt games. He is at Michigan, the defending national champions, and then at Iowa State.
Oh, wow.
And his answer to that is we're concerned about depth. He's worried that his players are going to – he's worried about that his players, his team will be healthy by the time they get Sunbelt. So talk about a schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, you could look at that as a gauntlet or as an opportunity.
Yeah.
And so, we'll see how the Cajuns – schedule manifests itself out as well this year.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. We were talking about baseball a little bit. We'll jump back to that for a second.
You want to talk about food? I'm down 20 pounds, Fausti.
Last
time I was here, I couldn't fit in the sport jacket. Now I can button the jacket.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's do it. Ballpark food, man. I'm all about it, What's your favorite ballpark
food?
Well,
I'm just a basic hot dog hamburger guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the last time I went to an Astros game back in the day.
Right, they're fancy at Major League ballparks.
Right.
These days.
Dude, I had a hot dog.
Right.
And a beverage.
Sure.
And it was like $25.
Yeah, it's a little pricey.
Yeah. It was tough. It was tough. But it was good. And then I had to get some peanuts and,
I'm a big popcorn guy. If it's fresh popcorn.
Yeah, right. You'll hit that.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good. Yeah. Well, what about have you ever gone to a press box or whatever? And what's been the best kind of?
Well, the Astros have ice cream.
Yeah,
the Astros and the Marlins used to have a soft serve ice cream machine with sprinkles.
Yeah,
I mean, it was
sprinkles
and the caramel and the hot sauce.
Yeah.
It's outstanding in some of these places.
So I've said this numerous times, and when I've been on your back in the day when I was on your radio show with you, I would go to different press boxes like high school. School foods.
Right.
Acadiana High.
Acadiana is ridiculous. I haven't been there in a minute, but I remember doing a couple of games there. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Did not have to eat before he went.
Karen Crow is really good.
Sure.
Because what Karen Crow does is they just got the big pot and
they're
making the gumbo or the jambalaya or whatever it is. So you got that. So those are the two that stick out in my head right away.
Sure.
Acadiana High has always been one of my favorites when it comes
high
school press box.
And sometimes it's just pizza.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
That's fine.
There's nothing wrong with the pizza.
I'll take two slices of pizza.
There you go.
Be fine.
Look, we've covered the gamut. We're going to wrap it up with that. That's good stuff right there. Only stuff you can get on Inside Cajun Nation for sure.
Thank goodness.
Dave, you can find Dave Schultze Cast. You get it on YouTube Live.
YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, 6:55-ish, Monday through Friday.
Good stuff. And it also Locked On Sunbelt. You can find him.
Also on YouTube.
Also on YouTube. There you go. Dave, thanks for the time, man.
Thanks, Fausti.
All right, man. That's going to do it for this edition of Inside Cajun Nation. We'll see you next time right here on Inside Cajun Nation.